My Music. A panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Shryan. Your chairman, Steve Race.
We are assembled on the stage of the Westminster Theatre in London. Four giants of music. I refer, of course, to Chopin, Beethoven, Schumann and Rachmaninoff, whose music we'll be hearing in just a moment. But present in the flesh are John Amis and Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. While beside me, not speaking but thinking a lot, is our faithful scorer, Leonie Lawson. I mentioned certain composers' names. None of you gentlemen were listening at that point, so I haven't given away any of the answers, have I? John, Vladimir Ashkenazy plays whose piano concerto?
The Schumann concerto.
It is indeed.
Right.
Frank, this is the Emperor concerto, though it wasn't dedicated to an emperor, rather to an emperor's youngest brother. Anyway, the composer, please.
I am able to say to you, Beethoven.
You are.
Without help.
Yes, Billy. Well done. Well done, yes.
Bonus mark.
Not yet. A bit early for them, I think. You know. It was dedicated, by the way, to Archduke Rudolf. Emperor was a nickname because it had rather an imperious sort of style musically. Ian, your turn. Still with Ashkenazy, the third movement of Chopin's second piano concerto. Ian, is it true or is it false that a piano is involved in every one of Chopin's compositions?
Perhaps that's a half-truth. I think it probably has to be true, or you wouldn't have asked it me.
So have a go.
I can't think of a Chopin composition that probably originally was not written for the keyboard.
Neither can anyone else.
Good.
Lovely, isn't it?
Good, you've got a mark. Right. Just before going any further, one of the greatest evenings of listening to music in my life was hearing Arthur Rubinstein giving presumably his last performance of it in London at the Albert Hall when he was, I think, 89. Mm. Daniel Barenboim conducted, and neither the young conductor nor the old maestro had a note of music between the two of them.
Yeah.
No. Amazing sight.
Well, just bus.
To be present.
Just bus. Wonderful.
Thank you, Frank. Dennis, your turn. The last movement of Rachmaninoff's second piano concerto, but can you please give it another title? Another title for it, Dennis?
Well, whether it's the same piece, but it's very much like... I was once quite friendly when he lived over here with a man called Norman Luboff, who had a Norman Luboff choir. And he made a single of a number called Full Moon and Empty Arms.
That's where they got it from. Dennis, we are surrounded by classical music experts here, and you're the only person that knows the alternative title for Rachmaninoff's second piano concerto.
They don't seem at all chastened by that revelation.
Not in the least. Yeah. Not in the least.
I might have known, had you asked.
You might. You might indeed.
I didn't know. I might have done.
You might have done. John, back to you. You're an accomplished whistler or siffleur. Can you think of a music title, just a title that includes the word whistle? Now, make it two titles, half a mark each. The word whistle in a song.
The whistler?
No, whistle. It has to be whistle.
Isn't there some song about whistle and I shall hear?
Maybe. I'll come to you, my lad.
Well, that's a short story by M.R. James.
Taken from
let me give you a clue.
Whistle while you work.
Or
whistle while you work. This will make you whistle.
Yes. You've got your side has got.
Have I got the mark yet?
Yes, thank you very much. I love to whistle. Yes, fair enough. Frank, a song that includes the word tweet in its title. Tweet.
Without getting you in a taxi, honey, Betty, better be ready by a quarter tweet. I lift up my finger and I say tweet, tweet, hush.
Thank
hush,
you very much.
Come right. Now, now.
Right. You've got two tweets, so you've got a double mark.
We'll see. Ian, two titles that include the word whistler.
Oh, Whistler and his dog.
Yeah. Dennis may be able to assist you.
Well, John mentioned one called The Whistler, which I believe there is a tune called The Whistler. And then there's the one
Steve.
You're Steve, is he trying to...
Steve Race.
What he... What that says in French is six flowers. Whistler's mother-in-law.
Whistler's mother-in-law.
Yeah, we've got enough, eh? Dennis, back to tweet. Can you think of a song that has that word tweet in its second line?
A tweet. Oh, is that,
another tweet. Clue coming up.
It's full moon and empty arms I lift up my finger and I go tweet, tweet. That's the one we've had before.
No. Yeah. Can I give you a clue? Will you listen while I do?
Yeah. Let's all sing like the birdies sing. Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. Tweet.
Well whistled.
I know it so well, but what is it? We've all said that from time to time. Like now, for instance. John.
Washington Post.
What is it?
It's either Boccolosi or Boccherini.
Yes, the latter.
It's the latter.
It's a minuet.
It's from a quintet.
Minuet, yes, it's a minuet. It's
Alan
well-known.
Guinness and Co. played it in some film.
Yes, the Lady Killers, that's right.
The funny thing is that Boccherini always wrote these rather nice little pieces, rather gentle pieces, somewhat in the style of Haydn, and he was known about 200 years ago as Haydn's aunt.
Because he favoured the cello a lot, didn't he?
That's right.
Aunty kind of instrument.
Yeah.
Frank, your turn.
It's the Nailo Waltz.
Yes,
Vals.
Yes, it is. You got that all entirely on your own. Yes. Pas de fleurs. Yes, by Delib. Nailo Waltz. Yes. Ian, your turn. What's this?
It's sort of Edwardian officers dancing round, isn't it, at tea time?
When you're being recalled to your regiment.
Yes, yes, yes. The surreptitious little notes going round.
Yes, it's by Archibald.
I'm sorry, darling, I must go at once.
Yes. It's by Archibald Joyce, I can tell you.
Oh,
that.
Well, I mean, that makes all the difference, doesn't it?
I'll give you a clue I haven't even thought of. But there's a song of the same title which goes like this.
Just idly dreaming.
Right. I think they've got that.
So it's The Dreamer, is it?
No, it's Dreaming.
Dreaming?
Yes, oh, Dreaming by dreaming. Archibald Joyce. Right.
By Jove, that was a hard struggle, wasn't it?
On night tweets.
Yes. Dennis, one of my all-time favourite Broadway songs was written by Burke and Van Heusen, and it goes like this. tune.
It has that lovely phrase, leftover dreams, which sounds rather Johnny Mercer, but it isn't.
No, it's
Here Comes That Rainy Day.
Yes, and For Your Mark, from which obscure Broadway musical?
Too obscure for me.
1953 with Dolores Gray.
No.
Oh, giving the mark anyway. It comes from Carnival in Flanders.
Really?
Never heard of that.
Yeah.
I don't think it succeeded very much.
No.
Here's an extra, up for grabs by either Frank or Dennis or John or Ian. It'll all be familiar to you, I know. A bonus mark. No, a bonus half mark for the title of. Right.
That's Reginald Forsyth.
Yes, and it's called
Serenade for a Wealthy Widow.
Yeah.
Half a mark both sides. Yeah. Cancel that. Yes. Thank you. Lovely. Yes.
I got to know him because I was with him in the RAF, and he had marvellous titles, didn't he? Revolt of the Yes Men, Berceuse for an Unwanted Child.
Yes, that's right.
Dodging a Divorcee.
Lovely man, Reggie Forsyth. I arrived in Paris in 1949, and he heard I was there, and he arrived at the hotel to present his compliments. And he sent his card in first, and then himself, complete with a silver-topped cane.
Exactly.
Lovely, just a touch of the old world.
Yeah.
Beautiful, nice man, Reginald Forsyth. Musical history now. One Sunday afternoon at Windsor, Queen Victoria heard a guards band playing on the terrace, and she was struck by a very catchy tune. So Her Majesty sent someone to find out what the tune was called, and the answer came back. Now, either you know what the tune was called, or you may care to guess. Any suggestions?
Turn Albert's face to the wall.
Mother.
Yes, would have been slightly unfortunate, wouldn't it? Frank, you're writing something down before you forget it.
The blushing queen, she looked divine. The consort, he was doing fine. I've had the other job than mine when I'm cleaning Windsor.
See, that's what happens when I say Windsor. It all goes on in there. Ian.
Oh, I'm thinking something that might have brought a little blush to her cheek, like, tell me, pretty maiden, are there any more at home like you?
Yes, right indeed. Dennis?
No, I can't offer on that, but mention of Queen Victoria, I heard this week a very distinguished actress called Joan Young started in the chorus, and she was recalling that when she went for her very first audition for a musical, there were hundreds of girls up on the stage, all clasping sheets of music, and a very harried stage director came out and said, attention, girls, be quiet. Everybody with Bird of Love Divine and glasses needn't wait.
Songs.
Yeah, I mentioned that because Joan Young, I always think that she made a wonderful Queen Victoria once. Yeah. She did one, yeah.
Well, I can tell you, just for the record, as they say, the tune that Queen Victoria heard the guards band play, and they came back and told her it was called Come Where the Booze is Cheaper. Historical fact. We live in a bizarre world, as I reflected when I came across a record by the London Serpent Trio, which is issued on an American record label called Titanic. I think if I had a record label, I wouldn't call it Titanic. Anyway,
do you know that we used to do... we did a joke once, I take me, about Miracle Productions.
If it's a good film, it's a miracle.
There are Miracle Productions now.
Yeah, there are, yes. Well, anyway, I think this Serpent Trio, listen to them, they make a good sound. You heard there, as everyone knows, of course, a presto by Gotthelf Heinrich Kummer. It isn't always terribly easy to identify what they are playing. But anyway, we'll see. John, what tune is this? You've sung it to us.
It's Away in a Manger.
No,
I
you've
think
sung
it's
that.
16th century.
No, you have sung it to us.
Have I?
Yes.
Da-dee-da-da-dee.
Without any bones, you sang.
Yes, that's right. No, it's about a girl, isn't it?
It's a girl song, isn't it? Wait, audience, what was the tune? Yeah, you knew, you could tell. I will give my love an apple. You have lost a mark, John. Frank, a real old favourite, this, but usually more vocal than Serpentine. I think I prefer the Serpents, actually.
On Wings of Song.
Yes, thank you. Mendelssohn's On Wings of Song. Ian, to the world of opera. What is it?
Yes. That's the Touch of the Webers.
Yes.
The Huntsman's Chorus from Der Freischütz.
Yes, by Weber. Exactly. Dennis, what was going on in Green Park while this music was being played?
Well, it rather depends on the time of the year, actually.
That's true.
In the summer in Green Park, you get some very goings-on going on. I would think they were building the underpass.
It was in 1749, as a matter of fact, the particular event I have in mind.
Yeah, well, I think they started it about then. It's about par for the course with underpasses.
Do you happen to know, and can Ian help? Don't write it down, Ian, just tell us.
The fireworks.
Yes.
The Music for the Royal Fireworks.
Music for the Royal Fireworks. Disastrous first performance. Everything went wrong.
Everything went on fire, and people thought they had to fly for their lives.
Yes. Years ago, there was a famous record of the singing dogs. Still good. More of a tribute to tape editing engineers than to music classes at Crufts, I think. Anyway, there were the singing dogs. More recently, it was the turn of sheep. Rather an uninspiring choice of tune for a flock of sheep. I feel you gentlemen might do better. John, what should they rather have sung? Or dogs, if you prefer. I'll take either. Dogs, sheep?
Well, I think if I were a sheep, I wouldn't sing Ba Ba Black Sheep. I might get roasted. I think I would probably try and divert attention by singing something like, Boiled Beef and Carrots.
It's a different change of dish. A nice thought, yes. Frank, any thoughts?
Dogs, sheep? I've got down for a lady dog. I'm going to sit right down and have myself a litter.
Good.
It suddenly occurs to me that the second line's quite good. And make believe it came from you.
You're getting a bit confused, aren't we, Doug? Ian, do you want sheep or dogs or both? Or either.
Sheep, I think. Yes. Perhaps a... Oh, follow, follow, follow the merry, merry white old ram.
Yours are always marvellously far-fetched, aren't they? Dennis, dogs, sheep, which do you want?
Sheep. I was wondering about...
Yes, right.
It had to be a you.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that's right. Well, they were singing Ba Ba Black Sheep. The B-side of that record you heard was Flock Around the Clock. And I looked up the catalogue number in the BBC index, and the label is Sheep, and the catalogue is BAA1. Songs about transport. John, how precisely will Daisy look seated on a tandem? In a word, she will look...
Sweet.
Yes, you'd look sweet upon the seat, that's right. Frank, can I afford the Chattanooga train fare, and which departure platform do I want?
Oh, it's track 29.
Yes, and can I afford it?
Yes, because I've got the fare.
Yes, and there's just a trifle to spare, too. That's right, Chattanooga choo-choo. Ian, what does that old conductor man shout as the 2359 train approaches the Cotton State?
The Cotton State?
Yes, that old conductor man.
All aboard. Oh, no, they're approaching. is it Alabama?
Yes, he sings Alabama in the middle of the chorus. Yes, when the midnight choo-choo leaves for Alabama. Dennis, what will we bribe the Pullman porter to do?
With a shiny little porter, we will bribe the Pullman porter. We will have the Pullman porter turn the lights down low.
Shuffle off to Buffalo
is one of the good lines, isn't it?
There was murders when that song came out, because it starts with panties and scanties. You go off and catch your panties and we'll catch your scanties.
Yes, naughty.
That was rough stuff, though. Mm,
Doris Grimshaw of Wokingham wrote to me to say, my sister, who owned a music shop, had this conversation with a customer. Customer, do you sell tuning forks? Shop owner, yes. They're £1.40 each. Customer, have you got one in plastic? Not very good in plastic. No tuning forks are needed, as Frank, John, Dennis and Ian take us into these closing minutes with four songs that you haven't heard for ages. Frank, you first.
Every little movement has a meaning all its own. Every thought and feeling by some posture can be shown. And every love thought that comes a stealing o'er your being must be revealing all its sweetness in some appealing little gesture all on its own.
John said it was a bit too tweet for him.
John's song is about a girl, and this is tweet enough, a girl who wore a wreath of roses.
She wore a wreath of roses the first time that we met. Her lovely face was smiling beneath her curls of jet. Her footsteps had the lightness, her voice the joyous tone, the tokens of a youthful heart where sorrow is unknown. I saw her but a moment, yet my thinks I see her now with a wreath of summer flowers upon her snowy brow.
We move on now to Dennis, who is concerned with cruelty to vegetables.
Don't be cruel to a vegetable. Always take its part. Don't be cruel to a vegetable. And don't forget a lettuce has a heart. If you please, don't split peas just because they're tasty to the tongue. And don't forget that when you order Brussels sprouts, you're gonna rob a cabbage of its young.
Finally, a note from me, that note, I think. Try again. Better. And Ian, a song from Twelfth Night.
When that I was a little tiny boy with a hey-ho, the wind and the rain, a foolish thing was but a toy For the rain, it raineth every day, with a hey-ho, the wind and the rain, and the rain, it raineth every day. But when I came to man's estate, with a hey-ho, the wind and the rain, against knaves and thieves men shut their gate. For the rain, it raineth every day, with a hey-ho, the wind and the rain, it raineth every day. A great while ago, the world begun, with a hey-ho, the wind and the rain, but that's all one, our play is done, and we'll strive to please you every day. With a hey-ho, the wind and the rain, it raineth every day.
We strive to please you every week. This week, it's been a victory for Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Pete Atkin.